and look up a lot of information.
The R1015 have arrived. We'll call the House Tax Committee to order. We have a full agenda, members. And we'll start out with Representative Freiberg moving the minutes of April 15, 2026. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, all fair say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion prevails. Thank you, Chair Freiberg. Item next, we are just going to start at the beginning, and I know people have hearings in other committees, other bills, so we will try to work as best we can, but we are going to go right down the list. And we have many, many bills. We want to hear everything the testifiers have to say within a couple minutes. So who, what, where, when, why do you need this? We're not into flow charts today. We're not into, what are those things up on the thing? PowerPoints. We're not into PowerPoints today. But we need to get these done because these are extremely important. Why am I so in favor of these? The reason is, many reasons, but one reason is, as a legislature, we're not going to be able to do a whole lot for LG, CPAs. We don't want to cut anything, or I don't want to cut anything, but so these LOSTs are bills that can help the community move forward with their current budgets and what they currently have. And, of course, they all better have referendums on them. So it goes to the people decide what they want for their community. So with that, Representative Davis. Chair Goldman, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
If you want to get ready and get your witnesses up there. Chair Goldman.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just going to offer some kind of general remarks about local option sales taxes so as to avoid what I've done in the past, which is like the first or second bill gets up, and then I give my like diatribe, and they think I'm talking about their specific bill, and I'm really just talking about in general. So we're going to just talk generally. So local sales taxes are expressly prohibited in state statute. Every bill that we're hearing today is an exception to that prohibition. And the reason for the prohibition on having localities implement state sales taxes has its origins in the Minnesota Miracle. When what was going on in our state was that increasingly local schools were being funded by local property tax levies rather than central state funding, which is our obligation under the Constitution, by the way. And also, which, if you fund basic public services out of a statewide pot rather than local pots, local municipalities, local school districts and counties implementing their own taxes, then you don't reinforce the patterns of inequity that exist across our state. What that means is that every child, our goal should be that every child has access to good education regardless of whether they live in a rich community or a poor community. That goes for all public services, in my thinking, most public services, right? It's better if we are funding them out of a larger pot so that a kid's chances in life don't depend on his or her zip code, on where they were born, on whether they live in close proximity to a high tax base, whether that's property tax base in the case of funding schools or sales tax base in the case of these projects. So we kind of made a deal back in the days of the Minnesota Miracle saying that we were going to try to fund public services, fund the public good out of the public coffers that don't reinforce the patterns of inequity across our state, that don't make a kid's chances dependent on whether he or she or they live near a bunch of rich people, a bunch of wealth, a bunch of retail base. And so increasingly we're seeing these exceptions. And, more and more they are, again, making the people's access to public amenities dependent on their local community having access to sales tax base. And I want us to think systematically across the state about whether this is the smart way to fund public infrastructure or not. Should only people who live near with malls in their community or a big retail sales base have community centers, have fire stations, have the things in this bill? Or should we actually think about how it is that we equitably fund the basic public services that people need in a more thoughtful way? And so, you know, I also just have to say, these are tax increases. What we're going to see today is a proposal for hundreds of millions of dollars of tax increases. We get a free pass on it, sort of in our minds, right? Because we're just like providing authorization for somebody else to put a tax in. So then we get to wash our hands of the tax increase. But make no mistake, every one of these proposals is a tax increase, and it's a sales tax increase. And it's the most regressive major tax type. And it's not the right way. It's not a planful way to fund these amenities and these, in some cases, very basic amenities that people are asking for. And so the real policy approach to this should be a statewide, comprehensive, thoughtful approach. And instead, we have these one-offs. And I just, every time we talk about them, I have to just mention those items, that this is pushing us back to the bad old days when your chances of having access to public goods that were high quality and that met your needs depended on whether you lived in a wealthy community or not. And I just really believe that we can do better than funding public services this way. And if you think that because you're just telling somebody else that they can raise a tax and you're not taking the vote, really look at what you're voting on here, or really look at what these proposals are. Because I understand the mental gymnastics, but at some point, if you want these things in your community, then maybe you need to raise taxes to do it. That's what this is. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank you. And again, these do require a referendum, and not all of these pass. They don't all pass. And I was going to ask Representative Davis where the mall is in Crosby.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Davis.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Crosby doesn't have a mall.
Okay, just for the record. Okay, so that being said, let's start with, I will move House File 4094. I do not believe there is an amendment. Okay, so we have House File 4094, and of course, all of these will be later for possible inclusion in an omnibus tax bill a few weeks from now. So if you could please present your bill.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and members, I will be very brief. House File 4094 is a local option sales tax bill in the amount of $3 million to help an impoverished community that is actually surrounded by a well-to-do community, but the community itself is definitely struggling within its city limits, and it gives the folks that live there local control and whether they want to decide this or not. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'll go to my testifiers.
Thank you very much. And I got to think here, Crosby, Cougars?
Rangers. Old mining range, Mr. Chair.
This is not starting out well for you. Let's go to the witness, please. I thought it was the Cougars. Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, and provide your testimony.
I am Mayor Diane Cash with the City of Crosby, and I'm here with the City Administrator, Trish Aaron. We're here because our Cuyuna Lakes area is about 400 square miles with five beautiful lakes, and the City of Crosby only has 35 valuable homes on the lake. The rest of the town is very small, and the homes are small, and the income is small. We have a lot of community assets that are used by all the surrounding communities. About 20 to 25% of the assets are used by the residents of Crosby. The rest are used by people that do not live in Crosby. And that's one of the things that the slideshow presentation will hold. So as you drive into the Cuyuna Lakes area and you think of how prosperous everything is around us, keep in mind the city limits is 3 square miles, and 55% of those 3 square miles don't generate real estate taxes because they're either part of the school, the hospital, the city, or the DNR with the Cuyuna Rec area. And none of those provide real estate taxes to the city to help pay for the community assets that are included in our city. And I'll turn it over to Trish Heron. Are you able to see our slide deck?
No.
No. Share screen?
No.
Is there capacity for me to share our screen?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll just go with our verbal testimony.
So if you could get the presentation to the committee, we'll share it with the members of the committee.
Perfect. I have sent it to Sam. So as Mayor Cash was stating, the city of Crosby has a long historical past of being economically distressed. So Crosby was established in 1910 as a mining community. And over the course of about 75 years, or 100 years actually, it produced over 100 million tons of iron ore. In 1984, when mining ended in this region, Crosby experienced economic devastation. As a result of that, property values declined, our poverty rate soared, our median wages dropped to half of the state, half of the federal level, and at several points, our tax rates exceeded 100%. And as a result, over time of having incredible financial neglect, we find ourselves today in a situation where Crosby has aging streets, aging water, sewer, and stormwater systems, aging equipment, and aging facilities. We have unique challenges that other communities don't have, in addition to being a community established by mining. Our acreage within the city limits is 95% developed already. We have a very low tax base.
Okay, ma'am, if you could please wrap it up. We have instructed testifiers to keep it about 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do that. I don't mean to be rude. We have to do that to get through these items.
I just want to, if I may point out, we have 3 square miles that isn't on a lake. Those 3 square miles host the school district. All the school buildings for 15,000 people are in the town of Crosby, and they don't pay real estate tax. 55% of our property don't pay real estate taxes. We have 2,200 people. 1,100 are over the top. 1,100 are seniors or children, 22% of which live in poverty. The other half is the working age people. So we have 1,100 people, and our median household income is $43,000 a year. So half the people live on less than $43,000 a year. We can't expand and add more housing because we have no land. We're landlocked, and we provide all the services for the 15,000 people that live around us. There isn't another school building in a different district. We have a hospital, a nursing home, senior housing, and low-income housing. So these 1,100 people that are voter age, trying to earn incomes, a lot of them don't have a means to earn an income. There's a lot of disabled and elderly. The reason we really need all this...
thank you very much. We need to move to the next bill here. Doing this, but if that was a wrap-up, I'm not sure. Any questions from members? Representative Hewitt.
Real quickly, do we have an LGA amount on Crosby? They can get it to me. I don't want to take too much
just
time.
Under 900, about 900,000.
900.
Okay. And our levy, our tax capacity is 2.2.
I feel like I'm losing control. Okay, we'll get. Thank you, Representative Hewitt. Any other questions for members? If you'd like to wrap it up, Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for your consideration.
This one's got a chance. Okay, so with that, I will lay over House File 4094 for possible inclusion in Allenwood's tax bill. Okay, let's see if Owatonna can come here, Representative Sexton. I will move House File 3390. Are there any amendments? There are not. Thank you. Okay, Representative Sexton, I will move 3390. If you could please present your bill. And then we'll hear from your testifiers.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Good morning, Chair Davids, Chair Gomez, and the rest of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present House File 3390. This is for a local sales tax request for the city of Owatonna. I'll briefly just summarize. It's a 0.5% sales tax if approved by the voters in a general election. It requests, gives us the opportunity to collect $75 million for a community center. Of course, Subdivision 3 just goes through the details. That it terminates the tax after 25 years or when the project is complete and completely paid for, whichever occurs earlier. And there is a small Subdivision 5. It's a little bit different because we believe there is some money that's still with the state that was collected for a 2006 sales tax. And that project, which was a traffic signal, was never built. So that's why Subdivision 5 is in the bill. Take a look and see if those funds could be directed to this project, if there are any. And, of course, just the last section is the termination. This is a very popular project and very important to the Owatonna local community. To my right is Owatonna Mayor Matt Jessup, and to my left is City Administrator Jenna Tuma. Thank you, and to Mayor Jessup.
Thank you, Representative Sexton. The Honorable Mayor Jessup, if you could please state your name and who you represent for the record, please, and give us your brief testimony.
Thank you, Chair Davids and Chair Gomez, for allowing us the opportunity to talk with you a bit about Owatonna's priorities. For the record, my name is Matt Jessup, and I am the mayor of the great city of Owatonna. Go Huskies. Thank you very much for your consideration of our request to bring before our voters the question of whether or not the city should impose a sales tax. In 2022, the city's Parks and Recreation Department sought community feedback to develop a parks master plan. The city heard the same request it had been hearing for decades. Community members again ranked a community center as their highest priority. Since that survey, the city has established a task force to explore options for a community center and gain feedback from the community along the way. This task force includes regional partners such as the Owatonna School District, Steele County, and the Owatonna Area Chamber of Commerce and Tourism. Our city is a regional hub in south central Minnesota, and we knew from the start that we would need to include these regional partners, as the community center would serve not only the city of Owatonna, but our surrounding communities. This community center will provide a safe, accessible place for children, teenagers, and adults to stay active and socialize. It would provide year-round opportunities for recreation and a range of services and facilities to serve all ages and community members. This will be a regional asset, which is why we believe that a local sales tax, should voters approve it, would be the appropriate tool to fund this project so we can share the cost between residents and visitors who will benefit from this facility. We appreciate your consideration of our request and are available to answer any questions you may have. Additionally, City Administrator Jenna Tuma is here to help answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, so she's a resource. Okay, thanks for being here, Ms. Tuma. Questions, Representative Swazinski.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to the testifier, you had mentioned a $75 million cost. Is that like pre-interest? So like over 25 years, the total that will be collected is $75 million, or is the $75 million, the initial cost of the project, and then over time it will be more than that moving into the future.
Who would like that one, Ms. Tuma?
Thank you, Chairs, Committee. Yes, it's we had a local sales tax study from the U of M, and it would generate $55 million is what the conservative study showed. And so with $75 million, it's the maximum it would be. So we're asking for that amount based on the study that was done a few years ago.
Chair Swazinski. Okay, any other questions for members? Chair Gomez.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So is this an extension? Because don't you guys have an existing half-cent local option sales tax?
Representative Sexton?
No, that's incorrect.
Okay.
Chair Gomez?
Sorry. Okay.
So the existing...
Section?
I'm sorry, Chair. What I was referring to in Subdivision 5 was a previous sales tax that was closed, but we think because the actual signal light was never installed, there was money left with the state that we may be able to reapply to this project. Does that help with clarification?
Chair Gomez?
Yes. So... So that was approved by referendum by voters for a certain purpose.
Correct.
But you were
Sexton, Chair Gomez.
So will you be going to the voters with that question then? about repurposing the existing money that they already voted for.
In accordance with the law, yes.
Mr. Chair.
President Sexton.
In accordance with the law, that's correct.
Chair Gomez.
Okay. I just noticed in the resolution, I'm trying to find it right now, but I'm not sure that there was a, as required in statute, is a demonstration of regionality and support from the region. And so that's just one kind of thing. I want to make sure that everybody ticks all the boxes that are in statute with the resolutions that come from the governing body to ensure that you're demonstrating that regional effect. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Any other questions for members? If not, I'll renew my motion. House File 3390. I'm sorry. Representative Sexton, if you'd like to wrap up.
Thank you, Chair. As you heard, this is a regional project. I don't actually live in Owatonna, but I'm over there frequently, and I would take advantage of using this facility as well myself, and I know everybody in the region will do it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll renew my motion. House File number 3390 later for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Item next, Representative Sexton. Now, if we have to boil these down to one or the other, Representative Sexton, do you pick Waseca or Owatonna?
Chair Davids, I would say yes to that answer.
Oh, very. That's a good answer for a freshman, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. Thank you, Representative Sexton. Okay, we're very fortunate today to have testifiers from Waseca County. If you could please present the bill, I will move House File 3813.
Thank you, Co-Chairs Davids and Gomez. This is for a House File 3813 for local sales tax for Waseca County. And the city of Waseca represents Blue Jays.
Blue Jays, that's right. I actually knew that one.
All right, quick summary. This is only for 3/8% sales tax, and of course we'll put this in front of the voters. The county will collect up to $45 million for a very essential judicial center there right in the city of Waseca, in accordance, in, right next to our county seat. Subdivision 3 goes over the details of how we'll implement that. After 30 years, this will be terminated, or if the project is completed and paid for prior to that, obviously we will terminate at that point. Everything going all the way down, just a quick summary. This project is essential. Waseca now has the oldest of the 77 active jails in the state of Minnesota. To prove that, I actually took a tour as a Cub Scout in 1973 of this jail, and nobody would associate spring chicken with Tom Sexton, nor this jail. However, this is a very significant project. It's going to really increase safety for our local community and for all involved within the overall judicial system. With me today is County Commissioner and former County Sheriff Brad Milbreath. He couldn't figure out how to retire in Waseca either. And I also have with me County Commissioner and Chair Dee Multer. And over in the wings, we have Waseca County Administrator Michael Johnson to help with any questions or anything I may have left out. Thank you, Chair.
Would you like to start? And are the other people resources, or does everybody want to testify?
We have a testifier to my right.
Okay. Please state your name and who represents for the record, please, sir.
Brad Milbreath, Waseca County Commissioner.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman David and Gomez and members of the Tax Committee. Waseca County is a small rural agriculture county in south central Minnesota. Waseca County is still facilitating district court in our 1897 courthouse with no ability to update to modern standards. Our jail was built in 1970 and is the oldest operating jail in the state of Minnesota. Department of Corrections has warned us that they plan on shutting us down at some point. No remodeling can fix the core problem. Our courthouse and law enforcement center are separate buildings, making it impossible to create a secure, separate circulation modern courts require. Our solution is a $45 million judicial center on land Waseca County already owns. One building that brings together courts, court administration, county attorney, community corrections, sheriff's office, 911 dispatch, emergency management, and a new jail. With our average jail population declining and the neighboring counties offering significant boarding capacity, We will not be rebuilding a Class 3 jail. Instead, we will focus on a regional model by constructing a Class 1 72-hour hold facility. This will allow our Sheriff's Office to continue serving our local and state law enforcement agencies as a central booking and transport hub. Over 90% of our property tax base is agricultural, and our per capita income is about 86% of the national average. This facility will serve more than just our own residents. People from seven and more surrounding counties appear in our district court. Our veterans from neighboring counties use our VA office. 13.9 million in VA payments have reached over 1,000 veterans. Our license bureau generates nearly 5.9 million for the state of Minnesota, serving people from far away as 70 miles. Chair and committee members, we have a plan that will serve both residents and our region in a more efficient, accessible, and secure way. Waseca County is asking you allow that Waseca County voters to decide if local tax is the right way to pay for this big project. Thank you for your time and consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Members, you have a slideshow right here in your packet, so we want to take a look at that. I'm going to read through that. So, any witnesses from the audience or folks with concerns? How are we going to handle the department on this one? Do you want to get in on this or kind of just, okay, I don't blame you. Yeah, okay. So we'll do it a little different than we usually do here. Questions for members? Representative Lee.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So, I mean, I guess maybe the Department of Revenue may not have comments, but I'm curious if the DOC might have comments, because I heard that the DOC wanted to shut this jail down. So I'm just curious, you know, I understand this is a new kind of building, but I'm wondering if they might have an opinion on this as well.
Very good. And members, if you do have a question for the Department of Revenue, we will bring them forward. So is the DOC here? Department of Corrections? I guess we'll have to get those answered offline. I don't see anybody here. Representative Hewitt.
Yeah, just a quick comment on this. And Chair Davis and I have talked about this numerous times about public safety facilities around the state asking either for bonding money or a local option sales tax. And I'm really, you guys are down the line on this one really far, but we really got to look at consolidation on a lot of these services around the state, even here in the metro that can, you know, maybe we can build a super jail or whatever, but it's the same with EMS. It's the same with a lot of the jail structure. And I just think that we have to look at this in the future as a different way that we can really help our counties and make sure that it's more of a, it's kind of a state thing more than it is just a regional, I mean, it's more regional than it is just a county thing. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hewitt. Any other questions for members of the commissioner? Chair Gomez.
Thank you very much. So what's the population of Waseca County?
Commissioner?
Commissioner D. Malter, just under 19,000 people.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Chair. So a county of 19,000 people. Again, I mean, these are comments that I'm going to make kind of generally about these proposals. There's a number of them in front of us today, and a number that have been submitted that are not in front of us today but have been introduced and referred to our committee. And so there are 87 counties in Minnesota, as we all know. We kind of hear that all the time. What we don't hear necessarily, I mean, I'm sure the county people are here, they're probably going to get really mad at me about this, but is that that is a lot of counties. If you look around the country, we have sort of like per capita, we have more counties than most states. What are there, 5.5 million people that live here? And so we have 87 counties. California, 40 million people live in California, and they have 58 counties. If we were, so this is a $50 million proposal for a county of 18,000. If we were to build if we were to authorize taxes, this is authorizing $45 million worth of taxes. Let's say we round it up to 50 because some of them are higher, some of them are lower. If every county in Minnesota were to build one of these things, $4.3 billion that we would be spending building county jails. Representative Hewitt is absolutely right. We have to take a systematic approach, again, to this issue. If we are not looking statewide at how to fund the public services that communities need, All of these communities are showing up today and saying, hey, I need stuff. Stuff costs money. We need money to build stuff. If we do that for every county, $4.3 billion, you guys. And when we consider these proposals themselves, we say, okay, well, this jail or that jail has showed a deficiency. The DOC has said, you know, you have to rebuild it. There's a lot of reasons. The county sheriff wants to support, you know, wants a jail and an office in his or her county, understood. But we have to take a systematic look at this across the state. Otherwise, we're going to be putting $4.3 billion of expenses onto our taxpayers to pay for one kind of facility. That's one kind of facility. There's community centers. There's regional sports facilities. There's all kind, you know, all of these things. Again, this is serious money. This is tax money. We can shield ourselves from thinking of these as tax increases, but they're tax increases. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. And members, we are looking for a room for tonight after session because we will get through these today. Okay, so that being said, Representative Sexton, you want to wrap it up quick?
Absolutely. And we just want to reemphasize that this is not just a jail, but a judicial center. And we have worked hard, and I am missing capital investment right now because we just heard from DOC Commissioner Schnell on regional jails and all the reasons that they become a challenge because of distance. We have so few people on duty at any one time to move people around at the wee hours of the night to get to a regionalized jail that it's very difficult to implement, but it sounds very good. And that's why this facility is actually going to allow us to manage this challenge much, much better. Thank you.
Thank you. I will renew my motion that 3813 be laid for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, everyone. Okay, item next, we're going to Representative Burkle, Rosso, and members. We're going to move Mueller to the last, nothing personal, but because her witness is virtual and the Honorable Mayor Fabian drove, what, 720-mile round trip? I hope you're getting paid mileage. Okay. Okay, so with that, Representative Burkle, welcome to the Tax Committee. I will move House File 3583. If you could please present your bill. Isn't it Rosso the Raiders?
You're close.
I'll let you try again.
What is it?
Rams.
Who are the Raiders? Oakland?
Oakland.
I'm not doing well today. I thought I knew everything.
Striking out.
Las Vegas now,
too. Okay. Representative Burkle, to your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 3583 provides the City of Rosso with the authority to seek a local voter approval for modest locally controlled sales and use tax of up to 0.5%. If approved, it would go towards the renovation of Rosso Memorial Arena for the Rams and construction of a new community and wellness center in Elk. In the interest of time, turn it over to my testifiers right away.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's an honor to be here, and it's fun to see so many familiar faces, that's for sure. In light of brevity, as everybody at the table here knows, that the really smart people are staff people. So after just a couple of short comments, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to turn it over to staff for me to kind of go through the bill. But I will say that Rosso is a town of about 2,700 people. The Rosso Memorial Arena, which we want to put a new, well, we have to put a new refrigeration system in, is on the National Register of Historic Sites. If you're a hockey fan in the state of Minnesota, you know about the Rosso Memorial Arena. We want to make sure that we can maintain that place. It's about a $2 million bill to do it. Our levy, property tax levy, is about $1.2 or $3 million. So we need to come up with a way to get that done along with our wellness center, and I appreciate the chance to be here, Mr. Chair, and with your blessing, I'd like to turn it over to Todd Peterson, our Community Development Coordinator.
Thank you. State your name and who represents for the record, please, sir.
Thank you, Chair Davids and Gomez and members of the committee. My name is Todd Peterson, and I'm the Community Development Coordinator for the City of Rosso. I'm here today to request your support for House File 3583, authorizing a local sales tax for the City of Rosso. This isn't about nice to have municipal perks. It's about the survival of regional cornerstones, our historic Memorial Arena, and the new Rosso Wellness Center. Rosso is a rural hub, but that means that our infrastructure is used by a population far larger than our tax base. Currently, over 50% of the users of these assets live outside the city limits. A local sales tax is the only equitable way to share the cost with those who actually use the facilities, rather than placing the entire burden on our local property owners. Our first project is the rehabilitation of the historic Memorial Arena. Built in 1949 and on the National Register, this is a regional institution. However, our failing ice plant relies on R22 refrigerant, which has been phased out and requires a complete replacement. The arena serves an area of over 750 square miles, and over 60% of our youth hockey and public skating participants live outside the city of Roseau. We are seeking $4.3 million for a new ammonia ice plant and mechanical upgrades. Without this, we risk losing the facility that draws over 1,000 families annually from across Minnesota, North Dakota, and Canada. Our second project is the construction of a 27,000 square foot wellness center. Due to new school security protocols, our public has lost its primary indoor social and recreational space. Roseau County has currently no public wellness facility. This center will serve nearly 10,000 people from Greenbush to Warroad. The demand is clear. Our survey of 650 residents, 95% supported the project, and more than half of those supporters lived outside our city. We have already secured $1.3 million in private pledges, but we need $8.2 million in local sales tax authority to bridge the gap to provide the space for health and connection during our long winters. To protect our local homeowners, particularly our seniors, from unsustainable property tax hikes, Roseau needs the flexibility of a local sales tax to ensure that we remain a vibrant regional hub for Greater Minnesota. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Any testimony from the audience at all? Any questions for members? Okay, would you like to wrap it up, Representative Burfel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and we'll move along. These projects just represent a long-term investment in the quality of life in Roseau, and appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Burkle. I will renew my motion that House File 3583 be later for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, and Mayor, I hope you can hang around a little bit today. You going to be around at all?
If that's what you desire, Mr. Chair.
He's good.
And just for the record, I still have that note that you slipped me in tax committee one day when I had made some comments and you slid it down the table and said, good job. I still have that in the picture frame in my office.
All right.
That's how frequently the chair gives compliments.
Yeah, I'm a suck
up. He'll buy you a steak for that.
Yeah, I'll do whatever it takes. Okay, thank you, Mayor Fabian, and to the witnesses. Okay, let's go on to Chair Baker. Chair Baker, House File 3751. Welcome to the Tax Committee, Chair Baker. I will move House File 3751. Chair Baker, two-year bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair as well, and members. Again, in sake of time, I want to keep it very brief. I will let the chairman of our County Commissioner Board speak today, Mr. Steve Gardner, regarding the option to allow our voters to choose whether they want to have an increase in their taxes to fund a judicial center. That's important, and I think it's important details that Chair Gardner will share with us. So, Mr. Chair, I'll turn it over to Mr. Gardner.
Thank you. Commissioner Gardner, please state your name and who you represent for the record. Please, sir, and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Steve Gardner, Candio High County Board Chair, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. Chair Davids, Co-Chair Gomez, and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to present today and to request your support for our request. Candio High County is a population nearing 45,000 people. We continue to grow as a regional center in a diverse community for employment, commerce, agriculture, and public services in West Central Minnesota. With that growth comes increased demand on our public infrastructure, particularly within our justice system and health and human services. To address these needs responsibly, the county is seeking legislative authority to allow our voters to consider a 0.5% local sales tax to fund two critical capital projects. The first is a new justice center in Willmar. This facility will replace outdated and fragmented spaces with a modern, secure, and efficient campus, which will connect to our existing law enforcement center and jail. It will serve not only Candio High County residents, but also the broader region, including the 8th Judicial District, which brings in judges, attorneys, jurors, and residents from surrounding counties. Consolidating these services in one location will improve public access, enhance safety and especially security, reduce inmate transport risks, and create long-term operational efficiencies. The second project is the expansion and renovation of our Health and Human Services building, moving toward a centralized government center model. This investment will allow residents to access multiple services in one location, reduce barriers, and improve outcomes for individuals and families. It also maximizes the use of existing county-owned space. Together, these projects are estimated at approximately $67.8 million, $54.5 approximately for the Justice Center. A local sales tax for us is the most equitable funding mechanism available, as we can then share the cost with the many non-residents who utilize these regional services every day. Importantly, this request does not impose a tax today. We're simply asking the legislature for authority to allow a local decision through a referendum by our voters. We have engaged our community, documented the regional significance of these projects, and followed the requirements outlined in Minnesota statutes. These investments are not only necessary, they are strategic, fiscally responsible, and designed to serve both current and future generations. We respectfully ask for your support in advancing this special legislation so that our residents, blue collar, and folks from all over the world may have the opportunity to vote on this important investment in our region. I want to thank you for your time and consideration, and we'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Commissioner, voters from all over the world?
We have a lot of folks from all over the world. I believe there are 54 different countries that are represented within Kandiyohi County.
Oh, okay. Does Kandiyohi, the city, go to school with the Willmar Cardinals?
Yes. You have Willmar Cardinals, right? Willmar is the county seat.
But do Kandiyohi children go to the Willmar schools?
They will go to a variety of schools, both public and private.
Okay, okay. Okay, questions for the author of the bill or for the commissioner? Okay, thank you. Would you, Representative Lee?
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is a question for the commissioner. So I understand this is a proposal for a new judicial center and wanted to just double check. Also, is there currently a jail there now, and kind of like what are the circumstances?
Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair, Representative, and I apologize. I didn't catch all of that. Could the Chair summarize for me?
No. Could you re-ask the question? Representative Lee, could you re-ask the question?
I'll try to do it.
Yes, of course, Chair. So the proposal is for a new judicial center. Is there a jail now, and what is the state of that?
Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, we do already currently have a jail. That project was done about 30 years ago with county funding. We did not need any sales tax authorization at that time. We simply don't have the room anymore without putting a terrible burden on our taxpayers, property taxpayers, to advance this. And we have aging facilities that are simply inadequate for the purposes that we have today.
Representative Lee?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And so I ask this because I think it's an important question. It's my understanding that the county has a 287G agreement with the Department of Homeland Security. And so, if that jail is at capacity, I'm kind of, my question is, is it because of this agreement, right? And so, are we asking taxpayers in Minnesota to subsidize the Department of Homeland Security?
Commissioner?
Thank you, Chair Davids. Representative Lee, I'm more than happy to answer that question. Kandiyohi County does have a 287G. It is the agreement, and it is the administrative model, which has been rendered moot, essentially, because in my conversations with our sheriff, ICE is not even providing the training to allow our staff to serve detainees within the jail, and we have had a conversation about the sheriff simply sending a letter opting out of that. That has not happened yet, but in any effect, we have not implemented that agreement, and I don't see that happening.
Representative Lee?
Yes, thank you, Chair. No, and I appreciate the answer. I was just, you know, curious if this is part of a plan to anticipate, you know, implementing this agreement. And so, I mean, to me, it's unclear whether that is the case, but I appreciate the answer from the commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Any other questions for members? Representative Baker, would like to wrap it up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Members, again, House File 3751 for your consideration would be appreciated to allow the voters to take that next step. Again, I know the jail is not at its current capacity, but that's a good question. They're just looking for more of that judicial center where the courts are there. That's a pretty antiquated building downtown. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members.
Thank you, Representative Baker, and to your witnesses, I will renew my motion that House File 3751 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Item next, we have Representative Fogelman, House File 4324. I will move House File 4324. We do have an amendment, members, to get the bill in the shape that the author would like, so I'll move the H4324A1 amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. 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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Now we have before us 4324 as amended. Two-year bill, Representative Fogelman, and welcome to the Tax Committee.
Thank you, Chair Davids and committee. As stated, amended 4324 House file for the City of Windham. I have with me today the City Administrator to explain the bill.
Okay, sir, if you could please state your name for the record and provide your test, your name and who you represent, and I think Windham, Eagles.
That is Steve Nasby, City of Windham, City Administrator. Chair Davids, that is correct, at the Windham Eagles.
And Representative Smith corrected me. It's not the Oakland Raiders. It's the Las Vegas Raiders. If you haven't understand, your chairman still shops at Dayton. So there you go. Okay, two, if you could provide your testimony, please.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Davids, Chair Gomez, and committee. Subdivision one of the bill is the authorization of a sales tax. Subdivision two is use of the proceeds for $8 million for a swimming pool for the City of Windham. Subdivision three is the bonding authority, and then subdivision four is termination of the tax for up to 30 years. The City of Windham has a swimming pool that was built in the late 1960s. Unfortunately, we had a very severe flood in 2024. Our pool has suffered significant damage, and we've been working with HSEM and FEMA on getting some dollars to help us relocate that facility. This is a priority for the community, providing public safety, but recreational water safety, but through swimming lessons. City of Windham is in Cottonwood County in southwest Minnesota. We are a regional provider of this kind of service. Our ambulance serves 230 square miles. Our fire department serves 190 square miles. It's pretty reasonable to assume that same service territory is served by our pool. In addition, the City of Mountain Lake, which is 8 miles away, their pool closed a number of years ago. They simply couldn't sustain it, and so their children use Windham Pool for recreation and water safety. City of Jackson is struggling with their pool. It's been closed intermittently. They're about 20 miles away. So this would be a regionally utilized facility. We do not have a very large taxable retail sales in our county, which is why we're looking for the 30-year period. Hopefully, with the organic growth of that over the next couple of decades, that the tax will terminate before the 30-year sunset. We're looking to collect $8 million, which will be used to help us offset the cost of the pool and the bonds associated with that project. Thank you very much, Committee Chair and members.
Thank you so much. Anyone from the audience like to testify for the bill or with concerns? Chair Uokin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think the testifier actually answered a little bit of my question before we got to me, but maybe Representative Fogelman, I'm just wondering, going from $9 million down to $8 million, but then ramping it up to 30 years, That's a lot more interest to pay. I was just wondering, I know your testifier said that the bond might not last that long, but is there some concern going to 30 years instead of something shorter?
To the testifier.
Thank you, Chair, Member Joachim. The city is looking at using hopefully the FEMA dollars that we get for some of the costs up front. So the $8 million would be a portion of the principal and then to fund the interest for the project.
Chair Joachim.
Thank you.
Any other questions for members?
Yes.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you. Is this this is an outdoor swimming pool?
Chair Gomez, yes, that is correct. It is an outdoor facility and is planned to continue to be an outdoor facility.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you. So the statute says that these are can only be used for standalone structures, parks, or trails. I don't think of a pool as a standalone structure. If it was inside a building, that would be one thing. But can you explain how this meets those basic requirements of the statute?
Administrator Nasby.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Representative Gomez, the pool itself is a facility. So the pool shell, the bathhouse, the changing rooms, the restroom, the lifeguard station, that is a building. It has been fenced in its entirety and would be a standalone structure and operating facility.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you. So you're saying like the changing rooms next to the outdoor pool would be a standalone facility or a standalone structure, not facility. It's structure in the statute?
Administrator Nasby.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Representative Gomez, the pool would be an outdoor pool. The pool itself is a shell, as you know what a pool, and then the building next to it would house the changing rooms, the lifeguard office, the concession stand, the restrooms, and that would be a portion of the overall pool facility, which is within the chain link perimeter.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is to improve or replace the actual pool, though, or is it to replace those? I'll take that's a standalone structure. That sounds right. The little building. So is it to renovate the pool or to renovate the standalone structure?
Mr. Nasby.
Thank you, Chair Davids. Representative Gomez, it is for the complete redo of the facility. So it would include both the pool shell, the building, changing rooms. The entire facility would be rebuilt.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you. So I'm picking on you guys a little bit, but I'm going to make a general comment about these projects again, which is that we create precedent when we make decisions about these. There were very few exceptions to that prohibition that I mentioned in statute of imposing these local sales taxes until 2019. Commissioner Marquardt isn't here, but he approved the first one for basically like a wealthy suburban community, and since then we have seen dozens of them come through. And so as soon as you approve a thing, you open the floodgates, everybody lines up, because what we're hearing is the real need for investment in public services across our state. Could I ask Ms. Hagler a question, Mr. Chair?
Absolutely, Ms. Hagler. Or question from Chair Gomez.
Ms. Hagler, have we approved like an outdoor pool to be paid for with a local option sales tax before that you're aware of?
Ms. Hagler.
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair, I don't believe so, but I can double check and get back to the committee.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, there are honestly, like, if you look at the way these local option sales taxes have gone the last time since I've been here, there are very few kind of restrictions on them. There are some. Standalone structure, park or trail, demonstration of regionality. But we haven't done a pool before. I think that it's hard for me to understand how it constitutes a standalone structure. Maybe that's an undefined term in statute as regionality is, so we can sort of fudge it. But if we fudge it on this, mark my words, how many pools are we going to have next year? How many pools are we going to have the year after? Like, I wish I had a pool in my neighborhood too. But, like, if this is how we are defaulting to funding the things that communities need, then we'll just create precedent. We'll have a line out the door next year for $10 million pools for every city in the state. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Any other questions for members? Representative Fogelman, if you'd like to wrap it up.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. Again, thank you for considering the bill to allow the local citizens to decide whether they want to pay for this with their tax dollars.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll renew my motion that House File 4324, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Mr. Nasby. Is Representative Zalesnikar, yes, if you could come forward, please. And I will move House File 4789. And I do not see any amendments. Representative Zalesnikar, two-year bill, please. The bill has been moved.
Thank you, Chair Davids and members. I'm here today to present House File 4789, a targeted fix to ensure the city of Hermantown can complete its highly valued connector trail. The bill simply removes outdated project caps from the city's 2022 local option tax authority, allowing the existing revenue, still voter-approved, project-specific, and set to sunset in 20 years, to fully fund the trail despite unforeseen cost increases. It restores the original intent, not preventing meaningful regional investments. With me today to learn more is our City Administrator John Mulder and Deputy Administrator Joe Wicklin. I'll defer to them. Thank you.
Okay, who'd like to go first?
That'll be me.
Please state your name and who represent for the record, please, sir.
John Mulder, City Administrator for the City of Hermantown, and you haven't asked the question, but I'll answer it anyway. We're the Hawks.
Yes.
The Hawks. Does Hermantown have a hockey team?
They do.
Oh, just wondered.
They did not make it to the state tournament this year.
There's always next year. I'm a Chicago Cubs fan and a Twins fan, and my Uncle David in Chicago, every year about August, he would just get frustrated watching the Cubs because they would just blow it. They didn't make the pennant. His most famous statement was, "Well, Greg, there is always next year." That's for Hermantown. No, you've had a very great history of hockey in Hermantown. I know that. Okay, to the bill, sir.
Co-chairs, Representative Davids and Gomez, thank you for taking the time to listen to our project about our trail system and a change to the existing sales tax language that was passed in 2022. We're simply asking you to remove the caps on those projects. Those projects were all voter approved back in 2022, but simply the problem was we started planning in 2019 when we were building trails at $100 a lineal foot. In 2022, we finally get through the process where we go through the legislature, we get voter approval after a worldwide pandemic. We are looking at possibly completing these trails in the years 28 and 29. So we are dealing with over a 300% increase in the cost of trails. Removing this cap for those specific projects would allow us to use the existing sales tax in the existing time frame of 20 years, because we conservatively estimated the revenue collection. And with this removal of the caps, we would have the necessary money to complete these trails in a timely manner. It's already been voter approved. It wouldn't lengthen the time that the voters approved it of 20 years, and we'd be able to complete this very significant and appreciated regional trail that connects Hermantown with the cities of Proctor, and ultimately we hope to get to connect with the Munger Trail.
Okay, so let me get this straight though. Now you remove the cap, then you put in a new cap? Or is it just unlimited?
The cap would simply be removed, and we would be limited by the amount of sales tax we can collect in 20 years at that 0.5% rate.
Okay, we'll have to visit about that, which is fine, questions for members, or another testifier, Mr. Wicklund.
Just to add to Mr. Mulder's piece, and again, thanks, chairs and committee members, a bit to your question, Chair Davids, is the idea is if fundamentally this would change the law to mirror what we see with other sales tax laws, some of which we've heard proposed today, and as well kind of mirroring what we've done at the Essential Wellness Center with sales tax that passed in previous elections to 2022.
Okay, thank you. Questions for members? Chair Gomez.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So the statute requires the costs of projects to be identified in the resolution. The costs of this project, when it passed, were identified in the resolution. The costs of the project were put into the referendum that the voters voted on. What you're doing here is you're coming back after the voters have approved this, after the resolution has been submitted, and you're lifting the caps on each of these projects. So why are you doing that?
Because we simply don't have enough money to do that.
You have to go through the chair.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mulder. To the Gomez question.
Mr. Chair and Representative Gomez, we are asking for that cap to be removed because we simply don't have enough money to complete the project. When we had to do those, identify those caps back in 2019 when we were planning, and then it took us a worldwide pandemic and then up until 2022 before it was actually approved. And we continue to see those increase in costs as we continue to plan. So that's why we're asking for the additional revenue.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So why not put new amounts in and submit a new resolution? Why not take it back to, if you want to change the amounts, why not take it back to the voters?
Mr. Mulder.
In previous changes in the state in sales tax, we haven't done that. If that's what the legislature decides to do, we'll do that if necessary.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you mentioned sort of that the overall collections maybe would remain the same, but there is, I just want to point out, there is, there's no cap to this. Hermantown is, relative to the state. It's a relatively wealthy community. Its adjusted net tax capacity is in the 88th percentile statewide. I know that there is a strong retail base. I am concerned about, this is a 1% local option sales tax. That's a big one. It's a very high rate that we authorized, and so I'm concerned about just the basic violation of state statute in this modification to this previously passed bill. So, I think that. Obviously, since everybody's getting up and saying, as I said, to provide cover for themselves, as we vote on hundreds of millions of dollars of tax increases for the people of Minnesota, and we get up and we say, well, it's approved by referendum, then we can't come back afterwards and take those kind of limits that were voted on by the people out of the statute and then still hold up, oh, but the people voted on this. I don't think that that's the right way to do things. But thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank you, Chair Gomez. And you and I will have discussions on this. This is a bit unusual. It could involve another referendum because we're changing what the voters voted on. But we'll work on it. You got a great state rep there. We will work on it. But your points are very well taken. Thank you, Chair Gomez. Okay, would you like to wrap it up, Representative Zalesnikar?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the questions. Just to clarify, it is 0.5%. And this referendum was really important to the community. The trails are incredibly important. It's a growing community. And we all know how important outdoor time is, and so I hope that you will consider this, and then we will deal with whatever steps are necessary as we proceed. Thank you for your time.
No, thank you very much. Thank you. Really appreciate it. I'll renew my motion that House File 4789 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Okay, item next, let's go to DOTSETH, Cloquet Area Fire. Okay, Representative Dotseth, I will move House File 4033. We have an amendment. Members, we're getting a little out of order. Just like I said earlier, we're going to go straight down the list. How'd that work? Okay, so I will move House File 4033. There's an amendment, members. I'll move the H4033A1 amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevailed. We now have the bill before us as amended to your bill. Representative Dotseth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Chair Gomez, and members. I will actually defer my time to my testifier, and I will actually save my comments for the end. Thank you.
Okay, if you could please identify yourself for the record, please, sir.
Good morning, Co-Chair David and Co-Chair Gomez. My name is Jesse Views. I'm the fire chief of the Cloquet Area Fire District. We're a Minnesota special district that provides ambulance, fire, and rescue response, as well as fire prevention education programs to three cities and seven townships in northeastern Minnesota. I have had the chance to speak with several members of this committee about our special district, some of the unique challenges we face as the largest example of a system like ours in Minnesota. We appreciate the leadership and advocacy of Representative Dotseth in bringing House File 4033 before this committee, and the conversations I've had with many of you, including Representative Warwis, who has an overlapping section of his legislative district with our special district and our service area, Representatives Hewitt on some of the EMS and special district issues, Representative Kozlowski on many of the same, Representative Norris, as well as Chair Davids and Chair Gomez. So I do appreciate you taking the time to better understand what our special district is and how some of our examples of consolidation and efficiency have changed service in our area. So I'm here to ask the committee to authorize the Cloquet Area Fire District to place a 0.5% local sales tax on the ballot for voters in Cloquet and Scanlon, the two cities that are kind of commercial center and population center of our district. If approved by the voters, the tax would be dedicated solely to paying the bond for a new combined fire and ambulance facility. It'll house emergency operations, regional training, community risk reduction program, and support services for a large region in our area. Our current facilities are aging and undersized. A modern combined public safety facility will shorten the response times. They'll improve patient care. They will enhance firefighter and EMS safety. And funding the bond with a narrowly dedicated local sales tax spreads that cost across a broader base of shoppers and visitors rather than concentrating on the local property owners. As proposed, the tax would replace the property tax levy for the bond payment. And so I think to Chair Gomez's point earlier, each sales tax is viewed as a tax increase. Our only other choice is to increase the property tax levy. So this process has already begun. This local sales tax would then allow us to reduce that property tax levy or that local burden on our property taxpayers. It would be voter approved and time limited. To the bond repayment schedule, revenues would be dedicated to the capital debt for the facility only. It does serve an entire district and a broader region that relies on us for full-time staff and our quick mutual aid responses, our advanced life support ambulance responses as well. We also recognize the uniqueness of this request. Similarly, the Garrison Cathio West Mille Lacs Sanitary District has established a local sales tax as an example of a district, but few exist like ours, which limits historical examples. Our ambulance service area includes portions of some municipalities, not in their entirety, and a significant part of our service area is rural, so it's compelling us to focus our proposed sales tax on the city of Cloquet and the city of Scanlon. As a special district, our funding options are limited. We've come before this committee and others in prior sessions to discuss capital needs, the establishment of an annual aid for fire and ambulance districts, and authorizing this local sales tax is the next practical steps in our efforts to reduce the local tax levy and lower the cost of the bond and shorten the term of repayment as well. So I respectfully ask that you support the bill authorizing us to place this local sales tax in front of the voters as a referendum for this fall. And Chair Davids and Chair Gomez, if you would be so inclined to send me a note, I would be honored to frame that and put it on my wall as well.
Consider it done. Okay, questions? Representative Hewitt. And anyone from the audience wish to testify for the bill or with concerns? Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll go quick here. This definitely has been a passion of mine, and here I'm going back to the same thing we've heard about over and over in this committee this year, safety nets. I feel terrible for the chief because I've really gotten to know him by him coming up here and trying to get this funded. Seriously, we shouldn't be depending on a jar sitting outside the local gas station to say donate to your ambulance service or something like that. And I'm not sure if the sales tax thing, but I know he's trying everything he can. I know his district is. but we really got to think of this, again, as a safety net for the whole state. He gets numerous people through his district every year. I just think that there's got to be a better option than to have the chief come down here and basically plead for something like this. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions for members?
Yeah.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you. Okay, so there's an existing local sales tax in Cloquet of 1%, correct?
To the fire chief.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Gomez, that is correct.
Okay, so that this would be, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this would be taking the local option sales tax in Cloquet up to 1.5, which is almost as high as one in Representative Freiberg's district. And I don't know if you want to be in that kind of company. Exactly.
To the fire chief. Chair Gomez. I like Representative Freiberg.
We'll get the fire chief's thoughts on Chair Freiberg after the committee.
Just kidding.
Okay, so now Representative Hewitt talked about this. And I thank him for his years of work on this issue. There are parts of the state where EMS basically is crumbling apart because the reimbursement for the amount of miles that you have to travel to get someone just like it doesn't pencil out. And all due respect to everybody today, right? EMS is not a bell or a whistle. EMS is not an enhancement. It's not, you know, a hockey rink or a pool, as important as those things are to people's quality of life. And I do actually think everybody should have access to recreation activities and all the things that we're hearing about today. But EMS is like a basic thing. This is a basic function of a functioning state, a functioning community, is that when you're in your worst moment of your life, that and you call somebody, there's someone on the other end of the phone. And like, these are the people who are trying to make this work in the midst of this crumbling of our basic services and our basic healthcare across the state. And so, again, and Representative Hewitt talked about this, like, it's been years we've been seeing each other, right? Like, we created this taxing district. This is like the existence of a Cloquet area fire district, right, which has taxing authority, is a weird tax-based attempt to solve this basic fundamental problem across the state that we are not taking action on as a body. And so, you know, I should have said this at the beginning. The way that when we talk about income taxes or corporate taxes and people say the word fair share, it kind of sets off our chair over here. We like to do it sometimes because we like your angry face. But when we come and talk about local taxes and we say creative and unique, that kind of gets me a little tingly, how it gets the chair tingly when we talk about fair share. Because again, like, this is a patchwork, inadequate solution to this big problem that we're facing. And if we do it here, then there's going to be a line out the door, because this service is failing in a lot of parts of our state where there isn't an adequate population density to, I mean, that's a weird way to say it, where there aren't enough like people to for the math to pencil out for the folks providing these basic services. And, you know, so I guess I would ask us to hear what's happening in front of us today. We are hearing from cities and counties and from fire departments across our state, and they're saying, we need investment, we need things, we need public goods, we need you guys to help us out. And we're not taking action on that. Because if we let them do it this way, then we get to say we didn't vote on taxes. Then somebody else gets to vote on the taxes. But this breakdown of the basic public services that people expect us to provide to them as a state is a call for us to think comprehensively in like a systems way about how to respond, not to come up with creative, unique, no offense, one-off solutions, right, that solves the problem for Cloquet but doesn't solve the problem for the numerous other communities around the state that are facing this issue. And so, you know, I mean, we have these like basic fundamental conversations about like, oh, well, you know, we got to send the tax money back to the people. Well, the people who we send tax money back to are going to be rightfully spending that on the things that they need in their household. The free market isn't going to build an EMS system. The free market doesn't build roads. The free market doesn't maintain infrastructure. The free market isn't going to build a post office for you. Like, these are the real issues that we're facing. And these kind of piecemeal, one-off, regressive, creative, unique solutions are not actual solutions. They're us kicking the can down the road. They're us passing off our responsibility onto other elected officials. And I just believe that we need to do better. And I'm sorry, Chief, that you're here every year, you know, sharing with us the challenges that you're facing. They are real, and we need to have better solutions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Representative Juarez.
Thank you, Chair. And I didn't want to talk out of turn, but I appreciate many of the comments from Chair Gomez and also from Representative Hewitt. The rural EMS problem is very, very real. And, I mean, rural Minnesota and the miles that we have to drive to take care of folks and a lot of folks that don't even live in our districts, including part of my district, which is served by the CAFD. And, you know, we've been searching for solutions and trying to find stuff and putting Band-Aids on statewide. I know there was, you know, $25 million that was passed in, you know, 23-24 or whatever, and a lot of that money is evaporated, you know, and we need solutions. And I think that, you know, the CAFD and Chief Buse being flexible and creative in this way, trying to serve his community, it's really important to be able to find at least an interim solution to the problems that we face. And, you know, if we had a statewide solution, I think that would be wonderful. But the state hasn't been able to do that yet. So I applaud the efforts and I support them. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Juarez. Any other questions for members? Well, we will let Representative Dodseth wrap it up, but I want to thank the Chief so much for all you have done in trying to get creative. I mean, we can all look for money in other places, whether it's free lunches for billionaires or, you know, whatever. This is so important, and I think Representative Hewitt's exactly right. This is so important, and I applaud you for trying to think outside the box a little bit to try and make this work. So we'll continue to talk about this, and your rep, Dodseth, has been a champion for you. I don't know how many times you've been in my office. I say, that's just funny. Dodseth, leave me alone. But not really. I like Jeff. So you're thinking outside the box. I like that. We need to do that. And Chair Gomez is exactly right. I mean, this is a fundamental need for our community. So, Representative Dodseth, I do like when you come visit me. But if you could wrap it up, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Again, I have to just repeat the fact that the comments that were made today, I have to agree. Chair Gomez had some valid points. And Representative Hewitt, I think you've been a champion for EMS as we move forward here. But as you find, this bill actually has bipartisan support. It has Representative Kozlowski, has Chair Davids, it has Representative Juarez, and Representative Johnson on this bill as well. And this is a much needed bill that it's really a Band-Aid on an open wound right now is what we're working with. I think that is what Chair Gomez had stated earlier. You know, I wish that when we had that $18.5 billion surplus that we could have maybe pivoted some of that money toward situations like this. But at this point, I think this is the only solution that we've got. So thank you.
And thank you, members. Thank you, Representative Dodseth. Thank you, Chief. Really appreciate it. So I'll renew my motion to House File 4033 as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And Representative Juarez, thank you for your comments, too. Okay, item next. Let's go to Sherburne County, House File 4424. Okay. So we have before us House File 4424. I will move House File 4424. I will then move the H 4424A1 amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. We now have the bill in the shape the author would like. Two-year bill, Representative Meckland.
Thank you, Chair Davids, Chair Gomez, and committee members for hearing House File 4424, the Sherburne County Local Sales Tax Request. The county is looking to fund a much-needed infrastructure updates in a law enforcement center with a 25% sales tax raise to raise up to $75 million over the course of 20 years, or whichever happens to being paid off. My county is proud to provide the law enforcement center that serves our greater region, and we are looking for your help to continue this work. And I do have County Commissioner Danielowski with me to testify.
Who would like to go first here? If you please state your name and who you represent for the record, please.
Thank you, Chair Davids and Chair Gomez. My name is Rayanne Danielowski, and I serve as a Sherburne County Commissioner and 2026 Board Chair. And I want to thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to testify in support of House File 4424 for the county's local sales tax request. And thank you to Representative Necklin for authoring this legislation. We would like to first express our sincere gratitude and appreciation for granting us a hearing despite our late request. Only very late last year did our project team learn that construction cost estimates for phase one had increased from approximately $27 million to $45 million. And then we learned that on January 23rd of this year that our request for federal funding was approved by Congress. Despite only receiving $2.5 million, this funding now makes the project viable to move forward. Thus, we are here today to ask for your assistance to allow our voters the chance to approve a 0.025 local sales tax for up to 20 years to fund up to $75 million in much-needed improvements to the county's law enforcement center. Sherburne County serves not only our county population, but the state of Minnesota and upper Midwest by providing a regional correctional facility to intake, house, and provide mental health and medical assessments to an average daily population of over 400 federal inmates. Indeed, Sherburne County is the only regional housing facility for the United States Marshals Service in the state of Minnesota. The federal component of our law enforcement center employs approximately 150 full-time employees, translating to 193 indirect, high-paying, and steady jobs, and an economic impact of some $109 million. To continue supporting the current level of activity, we need to undertake critical replacement and improvement to the building's 45-year-old infrastructure. These areas include intake, booking, mental health, medical assessment spaces, secure ingress, egress, sally port, and special management areas. Thank you for considering our request. We appreciate the committee's time. I also have with me our county administrator, Bruce Messel, to assist with answering any technical questions you may have. Thank you. And we'll stand for any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone from the audience wish to testify for the bill or with concerns? Okay, questions for members? Representative Lee.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So I think the commissioner mentioned that this project received some federal funds, and I'm just curious what that amount is.
Commissioner, or to the administrator?
Administrator? Mr. Chair? Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Bruce Messel. I serve as the county administrator. And just for the record, Elk River Elks, Zimmerman Thunder, Princeton Tigers. We'll stop there, and we'll see if you get the rest.
Tigers. Princeton. Yeah. I like Princeton.
Okay.
It's a nice town.
Big Lake Hornets, Becker Bulldogs, Monticello Magic, and St. Cloud Tech Tigers. So
we approve this project.
All right. Mr. Chair, thank you. Representative, with respect to your specific question, we did get a $2.5 million in congressionally directed spending from a bipartisan effort led by Congressman Emmer and Senators Klobuchar and Smith. We are not in the hopper this year, but we are looking for some funds coming from one of the other federal agencies to augment the program.
Representative Lee.
Yes, thank you, Chair. So it's $2.5 million. This bill asks for $75 million. And so, I mean, my question is this entirely just a federal building, or is this, you know, something that is also used, I guess, by the county or the state?
County Administrator.
Thank you, Chair, Representative. This is a county jail that does, it is oversized. About 35 years ago, the county decided when they had to replace the jail at the time that they would build a larger facility. It is operated as an enterprise fund. We allow housing under contract from other counties, the state of Minnesota, other states, counties from other states, and basically I'll say five federal agencies, Bureau of Indian Affairs, U.S. Marshals Service, what is now Immigration, Customs and Enforcement, but not under any 287G agreements or anything like that, as well as the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have done this really in a nonpartisan or, as you understand, a bipartisan manner under multiple administrations. We do not make determinations on who is housed in the facility. We provide the safest, cleanest, and hopefully healthiest facility that's needed for better or for worse for civil society.
Representative Lee?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And so I understand even if this, maybe you're saying this facility, you know, is not under a 287G agreement, you know, a lot of the people that we've seen detained have told us and their family members that they were detained in Sherburne County. And so I'm curious if the capacity problem is from this federal enforcement problem.
Mr. Chair,
Administrator.
This is not a capacity issue. This is a renovation of an existing facility. We are not adding any bed space. There will be a slight expansion of our special management area, specifically because the psychological and physical medical needs require larger space. So there is a space addition, but not any new beds. And then our average daily population for a Sherburne County jail can be anywhere from 100 to 200 of what you'd call truly local detainees or inmates.
Representative Lee?
And so, sorry, you gave like a number, but what is the percentage of that? I mean, my concern is just, right, like if this is a federal facility, maybe the federal government should be paying for more of this and not, you know, Minnesota taxpayers for $75 million.
To the administrator.
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, we are requesting federal funds. Many years ago, before the congressionally directed spending rules were changed, we did receive a $7 million amount from the federal government to assist in renovations then. We are, as I said, requesting to see if there's federal funds now. Unfortunately, the state and federal laws do not allow for us to put capital needs within what's called the operating contracts. So we are really left on our own devices. At the end of the day, it is a county facility. And just like you've spoken about, in the long term, perhaps this is a regional jail for multiple counties. It does not have to be. Our contracts are volatile. During COVID, our numbers of federal detainees went down to almost zero. So, you know, we operated as a facility available, but at the end of the day, it is our facility to maintain and own.
Representative Lee?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Representative Swift, the gentleman from Lyon.
Oh. Are we all done? Is this the last one?
No.
No,
you're not last. Gomez.
Oh, wait. Okay, that's fine. Well, I'll just make my comments.
Oh,
you know, it was brought.
Oh, no, we got two more.
Okay, I'll wait for that.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Chair Gomez.
Thank you. So the county administrator, you said there are, how many beds are in the facility right now?
Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Chair Gomez. I believe, I'm going to say 735 beds. Yeah.
Chair Gomez.
So there are 735 beds, and 100 to 200 of the people are typically from your county?
Yeah, I would just give you a rough average.
Go through the chair, please.
Oh. Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Gomez. Yes, for a typical county of our size with 103,000 people, a typical county jail would be between 150 and 250 beds by itself.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what's the proposed size of the new facility? It's the same size?
Administrator.
Thank you, Chair. Chair Gomez. The proposed facility will have additional square footage. It does not add any new beds.
Chair
and we are essentially replacing the larger sections, in particular, the Sally Port. If you're familiar with the Sally Port, ours is very small and constrained, and it creates a safety issue. So it will be additional square footage. Our booking area would be expanded, and our medical area would be expanded.
Chair Gomez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you described this as a, quote, oversized facility. It sounds like it's still going to be oversized when you rebuild it. Would that be accurate? And you talked about it as an enterprise, like a money-making enterprise, I suppose, for the county?
Administrator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Gomez, first of all, with respect to oversizing, it's oversized with respect to a standalone county facility, correct? In other words, our jail is larger than it would be if you chose the Olmsted County Jail as comparison or the St. Louis County Jail. That was a decision made about 45 or 35 years ago that when the jail then had to be replaced, that we would build a larger facility to allow for housing of other folks. The reason for that is it creates both efficiencies and economies of scale and operation if you do a larger facility. For an example, Pine County a few years ago built a new jail, and they oversized their jail because they wanted to be available to take in daily contracts. At that time, it was about $55 a night. So there is a movement of inmates between county facilities across the state. Part of that is driven by the multiple numbers of classifications. Used to be you had male and female. Now it's sometimes jails talk about 15 or 16 classifications, and sometimes
okay, that's you. We're still looking for a room tonight. Here we've got two bills left
that's
to go.
Fine. Go ahead. I'm happy to come back this evening if we if our leadership agrees on it, because it has to be okay. Both of us.
That's right.
Yep, and we can, you know, we need to provide opportunities to have conversations in committee. When we schedule 11 bills, then sometimes we get behind schedule a little. Okay, so well, we had a lot of things there. So you overbuilt. So I talked earlier about 87 counties in a state of 5.5 million people, that if we built everybody a facility like this, it would be higher than that $4.5 billion that I estimated earlier. It would be more like five. But not only that, not only are we talking about potentially building duplicative facilities to just do like the basic things of the basic service of like having detention center for somebody when you arrest them while they're waiting to stand trial, which is what county jails are supposed to be for, but you're overbuilding your jail by a magnitude of what, four? Like you're building four times as many beds as you need to do the basic function of the jail here. You know, and you talked about other counties doing that. So now we're not only talking about spending billions of dollars to build potentially duplicative facilities in all 87 counties, but we're asking the taxpayers to pay for facilities that are intentionally oversized, that they have four times as much capacity as you actually need to do the thing you're supposed to be doing with the facility, in order to make money. And you talked about it's $55 a night that you get. And, you know, it's interesting. We've been talking about this my whole time on tax committee and the property tax division. I don't remember, 2021. Representative Drazkowski and I actually kind of arrived at the same place on these facilities, and which was interesting, from different directions, of course. But one of the issues here is that if you build 800 beds in your jail and your budget relies on you filling those beds, you will fill those beds by any means necessary. And I have to tell you, Sherburne County, in that it provides detention for detained people who are detained and are in immigration proceedings. And we have seen what's happened to the basic requirement of due process that all people in our country are afforded under the U.S. Constitution, and the erosion of that due process, which includes the right to a speedy trial. We've seen the acceleration of that erosion happen. And as I said, a county jail, a county facility is designed to temporarily house people as they are awaiting their fair and speedy trial guaranteed them under the Constitution. As such, it's not designed for people to live there for weeks or for months. You do not have the kind of facilities. There's a difference between a jail and a prison. A prison where somebody is there for months or years has services, has facilities, has education space, understands that, like, when you're detaining someone, they're eventually going to go home, and you don't want to get them in a position where they're not ready to integrate back into society when they go home. I hope that you have talked to families of people who have been detained in the Sherburne County prison long term, because I have talked to them. and they talk about just the disintegration of mental health that happens when people are held for months at a time so that this county can make money in a facility that was never designed for somebody to stay longer than like 48 or 72 hours. I think that overbuilding jails is just a bad way to make money. I think that it is incredibly wrongheaded. I think it leads us in the wrong direction. I think that overbuilding jail beds creates incredibly perverse incentives for law enforcement agencies and for counties, and you're seeing that in this project here today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'd like to wrap it up. Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to present this today before you today.
Thank you. I'll renew my motion on House File 4424 as amended be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you to the Sherburne County folks. Thank you, Representative Mecklen. We will go next to, we got two left here. We can do this. We're really good. Okay, House File 4053 is Representative Anderson's bill. Are there any amendments on that one? I don't think I said there was. There is? No. Okay. Welcome to your committee. Representative Anderson moves House File 4053, two-year bill. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. House File 4053 is a been here and a half cent sales tax for a public works facility. I want to just briefly talk about the city and then turn it over to the city administrator. So. Forest Lake is a regional center. It's about 35 square miles. It's about two-thirds the size of either Minneapolis or St. Paul. It is a retail and business center for the entire area. For example, the school district is one of the largest in the state. It's actually 299 square miles, the Forest Lake School District. And all the folks from outside of Forest Lake in those communities come in to the city of Forest Lake for the schools, the high schools, the middle schools, most of the elementary schools, all the retail, a lot of the jobs, a lot of the businesses, and cultural activities. Forest Lake is blessed with a large lake right in the middle of it, and it's an incredibly busy place. So it serves the entire region, and I'm going to turn this over to our assistant or interim city administrator who can talk about this specific project. Thank you.
And welcome, Queen. I think it's the Rangers.
It is.
And I know that because Bob Detmer, or former chair Detmer, had a state high school wrestling championship team out of Forest Lake. I think he did.
Yes, Mr. Chair, he did. And I went to Forest Lake High School. One of my younger brothers was almost. He had 1 point from a state champ in wrestling. Oh. So under Coach Detmer.
Okay, under Coach Detmer. That's awesome. Okay, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jolene Chaika. I'm currently serving as the interim city administrator for the city of Forest Lake, and I'm also a proud resident of our beautiful city. Thank you for the opportunity today to speak in support of legislation which would authorize the city to ask our voters to implement a local sales tax to help fund construction of a new public works facility. I'd especially like to thank Representative Anderson for her continued support of this effort. Forest Lake functions as a regional hub in the North Metro, located at the intersection of I-35, U.S. Highway 8, and Trunk Highways 61 and 97. Our community is a key connection point to the Twin Cities from northern Minnesota and western Wisconsin. Each day, thousands of commuters, freight carriers, and travelers, visitors travel through and in Forest Lake, relying on infrastructure maintained by our Public Works Department. Forest Lake serves as a regional destination for shopping, services, recreation, and education. Residents from surrounding communities regularly come to Forest Lake to access retail, restaurants, parks, trails, lakes, and our many schools. As a result, the infrastructure that we maintain supports not only our residents, but a much broader population. The current facility that supports this infrastructure operation was constructed in the 1950s. when Forest Lake was significantly smaller and much more of a vacation and cabin community. Today, it's functionally obsolete, undersized, and lacks the safety features, operational capacity, and equity facilities required for modern public works services. Due to space constraints, equipment is stored outdoors, increasing maintenance costs and reducing efficiencies, particularly during our winter storm responses. The building also does not meet current safety or operational standards. We've incorporated a new public works facility into our long-term financial planning, and we anticipate using municipal bonding as the primary funding mechanism, but we respectfully ask for your support of this legislation to provide a balanced and sustainable funding approach. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any questions for members of the audience for or with concerns? Members' questions. Would you like to wrap it up? Representative Anderson?
I'll be quick so we can get to the last bill. So thank you all. This is a very worthy project. It's very, very needed. If you saw that existing facility, it's almost non-existent. A lot of this equipment is stored outside, and I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And to the witnesses, thank you for coming in today. I'll renew my, Representative Anderson renews her motion that House File 4053 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Okay, we're done for the day.
The remote.
Okay, thank you for your patience. I, as chair, I really like to make sure the people who drive in from some distance are there. So safe travels to everyone going home. We are excited to have Representative Mueller here with us today. I will move House File 3596.
Mr. Chair, there is a DE.
Good. Okay, so thank you for that. And so I will move the H3596DE1 amendment. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion barely passes. We now have the bill as amended before us, two-year bill.
Thank you, Chair Davids and Chair Gomez, and thank you for sticking around for our marathon of bills today. I will be passing it off to my remote testifier, City Administrator of Austin, Craig Clark, but we are asking for a local option sales tax to go to the voters for a law enforcement center. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to send it over to my testifier.
Thank you so much, Representative Mueller, and again, thank you for your patience. So we have House File 3596. As amended, we have a witness, my former committee administrator, the Craig Clark.
Austin Packers.
Austin Packers. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair Davids. Appreciate your opening comments. Members of the Tax Committee, we're here to ask for your help in approving House File 3596. That authorizes the City of Austin upon approval of the voters to extend our current half-cent sales tax to provide $28.4 million to build a new law enforcement center and pay the issuance cost for the new facility for the Austin Police Department. The sales tax provides the only practical alternative for this significant expense. Our property taxpayers and city budget are under heavy pressure with inflationary costs, personnel expenses, and many other items. This needed project goes nowhere without your approval. Austin is a regional hub that has an influx of 20% of our population on a daily basis to work in Austin, and 40% of our sales are from those outside of Austin while conducting business in Austin and using our local services. 21,000 vehicles pass through Austin on I-90 on a daily basis, and this all makes it a regional in nature. So that we have all the beneficiaries helping to pay their fair share of the cost for this law enforcement center. The City of Austin conducted a needs assessment of our current facility, which is the 1975 vintage, a great year, but a long time ago for a facility that's showing its age. What that study showed us is that we're very challenged on our square footage for the facility, and that we need over double the space that we currently have to have a fully operational police department by current standards. Improvements would address deficient classroom space, provide appropriate interview rooms, and provide functional space for our employees in a highly competitive employment market, while providing a space that protects the mental health of our officers for the workplace that they work. I'd be happy to stand for questions and ask for your support. and apologize, Mr. Chair, for long-time absence from sharing a Spring Grove soda with you.
Grape is my favorite. Okay, so thank you, Mr. Clark. Questions from the audience supporting the bill or with concerns? Okay, we'll go to member questions. Chair Gomez.
Thank you. I know we're running out of time, so I'm just going to state my issues with this one, not go through a series of questions. I'm curious about the inclusion of maintenance in this one. I haven't ever seen that before. Again, we have to look out for setting precedent. I'm not also sure about, you know, land acquisition, site work, design services, construction. Usually these talk about construction. Curious about potentially tightening that up if we're going to move forward with this. And is, you know, maintenance is ongoing? Is this supposed to be ongoing? How does that fit within the kind of cap that you have, are proposing to establish here? We did not receive a resolution about this one. That's a problem. That's required under statute. We didn't see any benefit of regional or any documentation of regional benefit. I guess you can say, hey, we lock up people from outside the county. That's sort of been the regional argument, but that hasn't been articulated here. Most importantly, though, to me is just that there are very, again, there are like, we just notwithstand all this stuff all the time, but there is a requirement in statute that if you have an existing local option sales tax, that there's a requirement that you allow 1 year to lapse between the expiration of the terminating tax and the establishment of a new one. This would kind of just roll you straight from one existing tax to another. I know we've got to end, but so with this being our last bill, we have now heard $409 million of proposed tax increases in today's committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair Gomez. Representative Swedzinski. Okay. Any other questions for members? With that, I'll renew my motion that House File 3596, as amended, be laid for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. For the good of the order, Chair Gomez, for Tuesday. And thank you, members, for helping get through all this. I really appreciate it.
We're ironing it out. We'll probably be hearing some tax increment financing bills, but stay tuned.
Okay, sounds great. Anything else for the good of the order? Okay, with that, good government all the time. We are adjourned. Fantastic.